All right. Hi, welcome to another episode of We Used to Be Best Friends. I am your host, Sabrina, and today I have a special guest on. She is a narcissistic abuse recovery expert, a motivational speaker, a best-selling author to the book Married to a Nice Guy, and hosts her own podcast, That's Where I'm At podcast. So please welcome Laura Richards.
Hello. I'm so glad to be here.
I'm so glad to be here talking about this.
So we were going a little bit on a tangent before we started recording, talking about narcissism and just a lot of the things that we have to deal with.
Yeah.
But to start off, I did meet you on TikTok. So we kind of started connecting from there and on Instagram as well. And I love a lot of your videos. They have helped me kind of honestly feel validated with my own experience, my own story. But I did want to start off by asking, like, what would you say are the main telltale signs of figuring out that you're dealing with a narcissist?
Okay. Well, thanks for having me. But I also want to tell you that I didn't know my ex was a narcissist and I spent 33 years with him. Hello. And so this is part of it. Okay. So they're so crafty, especially a covert narcissist. Okay. We know, we see the typical malignant narcissists who are like way out there. I love myself. They'll tell you, I love myself. They might like run countries, you know, things like that. And so, but okay, I got 4 years of jokes, people. Okay. And so I had a covert narcissist. So he was one way at home and one way out in public. And so I didn't know. I just thought I was so confused. Like, what is going on? So what I have learned after the fact is that I saw all the signs. I just didn't know they were signs. And so some of them are like, they really start, the cycle of abuse starts with like love bombing. Okay. You know, where you're just like, this is the greatest thing ever. He loves me so much. They might even say they love you on the first date, which run for your life, you know, because they just want to lock you down. But it's hard because, you know, we've been taught wrong to like the fairy tale and all that, right? You know, and this can go for friendships too. Like, you're the best friend I've ever had and that kind of thing. And it's like, okay, but that's a little much for the first time meeting you or the, you know, the first date. And so really just like, it doesn't look like love bombing and you might not even know it's love bombing. Just like slow your roll, like slow it down. Like you don't need to be loving this person and like giving up your entire life for that. And then the backhanded compliments or the little backhanded, the backhanded compliments or like, it's like little digs because what it makes you do, because narcissistic abuse is very insidious. So it's like the boiling frog. You don't even realize it's happening. You don't realize you're being boiled to death. I didn't stay 33 years because I'm like, hey, this is a lot of fun. This is great. I love it. You know, I just thought, oh, well, he's okay today. He's nice today. So things are fine. And so it's that little bit of, here's a compliment, but they give you the backhanded compliments to see how you're going to react. And it makes you start now questioning yourself and going, well, he had a hard day, was a bad day, or that was weird. I wonder what that was. That's how you start to wake up when you go, oh, well, that was weird. But they give you then 99 more green flags. That was a red flag, but now they give you 99 green flags. And then you're like, okay, well, maybe it wasn't a red flag.
Yeah, no, I get it. The backhanded compliments.
Yeah.
But it's always kind of masked in a way where they make it seem like they're looking out for you.
Right. So
exactly. It's like they insult you, but they're like, but I'm telling you this for your own good. Like as if they're trying to hold you accountable. But it's,
Yes.
But you never needed help in that area. You never asked for that help and you didn't want that unsolicited advice.
Right.
But then when you call them out on that and you're like, hey, that was hurtful. I don't like you saying that.
Right.
Oh my God, I'm trying to help you out. I'm trying to be a good friend.
Like, you know, with New Year's resolutions, you like maybe tell your friends that you're trying to lose weight or whatever it is, right? And then if you go out to to lunch or something, they'll be like, do you really need that cake? Do you really need, you know, like that?
And yes, I'm just,
yes, I do. I'm just trying to help you because you said you were, trying to lose weight. And it's that kind of butting in, because then what I found then was if I would say like, I don't need you to do that. I don't need you to tell me I can deal with that myself. Well, you're so ungrateful. You're an ungrateful person. You're an ungrateful friend or whatever, that I was trying to help you. Nobody can ever tell you anything. Gosh. Mm-hmm. And then it gets turned on to you that you're the terrible one. And until I started working on my self-esteem and everything, I was like, oh, okay, well, I must be being difficult. And so I really spent my life thinking, well, I'm kind of difficult because people say I am. But now I realize the people who were saying that just wanted to cross my boundaries all the live long day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I feel like those of us that have gone through narcissism or have been victims to it always feel like it's all our fault.
Yeah.
Like, if I didn't say this exact word, mm-hmm. like this exact word, then this wouldn't have happened.
Right.
If I would have changed my face a little bit, if I would have like not winked that one time, it's always like the smallest little things that come back to bite you in a way.
Yeah.
And it's not the greatest place to be in.
It's not. And it's like, you can't look, they're going to make something up anyway. Like, it won't even matter if they say like, don't call me this name or don't say this about me, and they'll find something else to say like, well, I, you know, you shouldn't be that way. You shouldn't talk to me. And the funny thing was, like, even being married or even when I think about certain toxic friendships, it's like they would do things to me that they asked me not to do to them or talk about, you know, and it's like,
yes, bingo.
I don't understand. Like, wait, you don't like it when I do that, but you're doing it to me. But again, it gets turned around. It's that manipulation and that gaslighting of that you start complaining or standing up for yourself or setting a boundary, and they don't like it. And that's the biggest thing I found was, you know, people who benefit from you not having boundaries are going to be your biggest complainers. So you got to keep setting those boundaries.
Yeah, that's very true. How do you think you've started setting boundaries? I'm curious to know.
Well, so it's funny because a few years before I got divorced, I didn't really know what boundaries were, but I started to say, like, I'd be out with like certain friends or even certain family members, and they would maybe make fun of me. I was kind of the butt of the joke or whatever. And I would kind of announce, somewhere along the way, I gave you guys permission to treat me like this, and I don't like it. And what I was learning, what I learned later, was that was me trying to set a boundary, and I didn't know how to. And so it just has started with knowing what I want and knowing I have value. So if someone asks me to do something or go somewhere or whatever, I may say no. And I'm learning to not feel horrible about that. Say, no, I'm sorry, I can't make it. Because people want you to give them a really good reason. That's crossing a boundary to me. Like, well, why can't you go? Aren't you free? Oh, I'm super free. I just don't want to go. You know, and you have to be okay. I always tell my kids, like, they tell me, like, I don't really want to talk to this person about this or something like that. I'm like, you're more than welcome to practice that boundary on me. I know that sounds weird, but it's learning to say no to things that are super easy. Like, literally have somebody ask you something and then you go, no, thank you. No, I don't want to do that. And like, practice that so you can feel it in your body. If you've never set boundaries, it feels horrible and you feel really dysregulated.
It's a little bit of that awkward feeling too, and having to sit with it. And not everybody wants to be in that awkward silence, but you kind of have to learn to handle it and deal with it. I loved what you said earlier, where it's like, somewhere along the way, I gave you permission to treat me that way. And I was trying not to scream. So I was like, yes!
Right?
That's how I feel. Because it is true. Yeah. I feel like, at least with my experience, I've dealt with a lot of people silencing me. And with my silence, I gave people the permission to continue to treat me that way. Like, even though I didn't like the way they treated me, I didn't say anything. And I thought to myself, oh, you know, it's a mistake. Maybe they just don't know any better. They won't do it again. But I never put in the work to actually be like, hey, I don't actually like the way you're talking to me right now, or I don't like the way you're treating me right now. I never did that until after I dealt with a narcissist. And then I kind of got to the point where I was like, all right, I need to start speaking up for myself because I'm tired of being surrounded by these people.
And you do give off that you're like, they'll find you. They can sniff out the people who don't have boundaries, you know, and you have to learn how to do that. And I know it was probably hard. I totally was in that same place where you said, well, I'm just not going to say anything and they'll probably stop. But we are a certain way, right? We would never do that to somebody. Okay. So I'm thinking that the people who are listening are wanting to be better people and we aren't that way. So we are thinking that the person across from us who is treating us like crap is the way that we are. You can't expect you out of people because takers are going to freaking take all day long. And then as a giver, because many of us who have been through this, who have dealt with narcissists or whatever is going on, a lot of us are givers and takers can smell that a mile away. It's like chum in the water. The shark is coming. Here it comes.
But it's also what I've noticed because I've been huge, like back then, people pleaser, giver, huge giver. I also noticed that a lot of takers would enjoy my company because I made their life easy. I mean, I kind of get it in a way where it's like this person comes into my life. They're the ones that make plans. They're the ones to call me. They're the ones to text me. They're the ones to check in on me. They're the ones that will always answer the phone call when I'm dealing with something. And what I get to sit back and enjoy the friendship and not put in and out, not even lift a finger.
Right.
Awesome. What a great deal. Like I kind of get it.
Yeah.
Even though that's not my, I feel uncomfortable doing that. I feel like bad.
Yeah. Right.
But I feel like that's how takers think. They're like, oh, I get to sit back, relax, be on vacation, have this, the benefits of a friendship relationship and not do anything to maintain it. Awesome. Great deal. Love it. And that's kind of where givers kind of also end up giving too much. And they notice that they have to pick up the slack because the other person's not putting in effort. And then sooner or later, you get to this point where you're like, enough is enough.
Right.
And then we're the problem again.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Because what if you say what you want to do on the vacation or where you want to go eat lunch or whatever? Now it becomes a problem because you've always had this dynamic with this person. And that is why when I started healing after my divorce and whatever that really looked like, because sometimes boundaries are very subtle and they're just, I'm just not going to do those kinds of things. Going out to dinner with friends or something. And I'm just like, I'm not drinking anymore. It's just something I chose to do. And having to be like, why are we still saying, why aren't you drinking? Like, why are we still doing that in this year? Like, why are we still doing that? You know what I mean? And so, but learning to be like, I'm just not. And that's the entire conversation and having those kinds of things. And I don't remember what the other thing I was going to say. So just go on. Because I don't remember where the entire thought.
We'll get back to it. But
yes,
no,
you will.
It's good with, I mean, I honestly, I'm learning a lot more setting healthy boundaries in this romantic relationship that I'm in with my boyfriend. Cause he's somebody where I've asked him, have you ever experienced a narcissist?
Okay.
And he has never experienced a narcissist. And to me, that's baffling. Cause I was like, I was surrounded by them. What are you talking about?
Exactly.
But he's also that type of person that says how he feels, does not give a hoot of whether you agree or disagree with him. He's just going to tell you how he believes what he feels. He'll stand on it.
Yeah.
And then if you want to like debate him, he'll listen and like take your thoughts into consideration. If you come up with a good point, he'll be like, okay, that's good. I like that. That's good. But he's not somebody that is going to allow anybody to like overstep his boundaries at all. He's very, very, has a big integrity. And I kind of learn from the way he acts and behaves and handles himself in situations. And I noticed that from seeing how he behaves, I've allowed a lot of people to do things that I've let slide because I was like, oh, they're going through a bad day or they're dealing with this, yes. or, you know, they're probably handling something today. I have to be a little bit more empathetic.
Yeah.
And I forget about me.
Yeah. Because we've been taught somewhere along the way that we're the ones who need to fix it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I truly have felt that way like most of my life. And so that's what I've been unraveling is like really seeing those. Oh, I remember what I was going to talk about. You know, the thing with friendships is that as I was starting to heal, and that's what I was saying, is that you have those subtle boundaries you're starting to set with yourself and how you want to be in this world. Look, you don't have to have a lot of friendship breakups. They kind of just fall away because the way you become the new version of you doesn't work for everybody. I spent some time with a holistic coach who's now my friend, just crying on the phone going, I don't get any friends anymore. It's like, and she's like, don't worry. They're coming because the ones like I have some dear friends who never left my side. Like they don't care. Up, down, all around. And then I have others who are like, I don't know about this. Like, you're setting boundaries? That doesn't work for me. And they mm-hmm. don't ever say it. It's just that they just don't call as often. And then, like, life kind of, you know, gets in the way or whatever. And you're just people who I thought would be there forever are not there anymore. But you, I don't want to scare anybody. I want you to understand, since this is the name of the podcast, that you have to be, you have to love yourself the most of everybody. And it's okay. The friends who are supposed to be there are going to be there.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They'll make the time.
Right.
They'll make the effort. They'll add to it. And I think the hardest part, at least like on my TikTok or mm-hmm. talking to other individuals about friendship breakups is like, it's the acknowledgement, the reality that if someone's not putting in time or effort to text you or to call you or to yeah. make plans or anything, they're just not that interested.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that you're a terrible person. It doesn't mean that you're a terrible yeah. friend. It doesn't yeah. mean that there's something wrong with you. It just mm-hmm. means that you guys are not compatible.
Right.
You're puzzle pieces that don't match. And right. if you're that one puzzle piece in the middle of the whole puzzle, you're going to have a few that is going to match you. And it's just yeah. a few. Right. And then some that are going to be around you that kind of match you, but they're not, you yeah. know, stuck to you.
I love that.
So it's kind of looking at that. And then there are going to be the outside pieces that don't match you at all. So yeah. it's you can't take an outside piece and try to make it fit with a middle. It's going to...
That is such a good analogy. I actually talk about it in my book. I talk about it like a bullseye. It's like the ones in the middle, right? Or you're
yeah.
really A, you know, your type A friend, not your type A, but your A friends. You know, those are the ones you call every day or you're in a group text with them or whatever, and you tell them everything. And then they go out, right? They go out as a like a bullseye. And it's like you have your just going out to dinner friends and you have your I see them occasionally friends. And I think they serve a purpose everywhere in life, but it's when we just start losing ourselves that, and just letting whoever do whatever that your life doesn't like, if you're, I used to walk around really mad at everything. And I was like, I learned that's because people are walking all over my boundaries. What are boundaries? Who knows? Like, I didn't even know. Like, how does that? But it was my body reacting to wanting boundaries, to be like, this is what I want. This is what I will do if you continue with this thing. Because I always thought boundaries were telling other people what to do. And it's, and really it's what you're going to do if they continue with their behavior. And I didn't know that because, like, probably many of us have dealt with people pleasing at some point and codependency that way and being a people pleaser or, you know, a recovering one. I was like, wait, I have to tell people what to do. And it's like, nope, you get to do whatever you want to do. If somebody keeps talking bad about you or whatever, and you ask them to stop or whatever, I don't want to talk about my weight. I don't want to you to badger me into why I'm not drinking or whatever. So, you know, you can say, well, I'm going to leave if it continues. It's just, yes. I'm not comfortable. But that takes a lot of work, right? Because you have to love yourself to be able to do that. And
it's Very true.
Yeah.
It's hard. And it's, I think it's also, at least for me, so yeah. Let me know if it doesn't resonate with you, but at least for me, it was also this idea of, wait, I get to choose, I can leave, I can choose my friends. No way. But in the same like coin, on the other side of the coin, it's also when you're a recovering people pleaser, dealing with codependency, it's usually stems from the fact of being abandoned, having that abandonment issues.
Yeah.
So now you kind of have to deal with the other side of the coin where it's like, I have to remove someone from my life, which feels like you are abandoning.
Yeah.
Or allowing people to abandon you. So you're like, what do you mean? I have to do this to myself? Like, that's crazy.
It's so scary, right? And that's why, no, I totally resonate with that. And that's why doing that inner child work, you know, like right now I have a picture of me from first grade up on the mirror and I talked to her and I kind of okay, what was going on? And I remember exactly what was going on during that time. And so healing those parts, which a lot of people think is weird or whatever, but it's like, no, I'm telling you, talk to her. Cause after her, the next one is the angry teenager. She's coming out. So I've just done a lot of inner work to go, oh God, I know why I was with that person, even as a friend. Because I just ended it. I didn't have to end it. Well, yes, I did. I did the 2024 thing and, you know, unfriended my friend because of things that were happening. And we had a discussion about, I can't be in a relationship with you if you continue with this thing. I just can't. Like, mm-hmm. I don't care that we've been friends 25 years. I can't do it. And she told me, okay, that's fine. Fine. And I'll stop, whatever. And she didn't. So, you know, it's like, okay, so then was I going to do it? And that, you know, was I going to then end the friendship? And I did. But that took working on that abandonment and that where's my place? And will I have anyone else? Because I remember saying to one of my friends, I tell people my story and then they leave. Because that's what it felt like in the last 2 years. I tell people my narcissist story and then they leave. And my friend goes, I'm still here.
Oh,
and I was like, and so you have to have those good friends around you who are like, hello, you know, we love you unconditionally. You know, like that kind of, you need those friends around you.
So yes, that
every time that abandonment or whatever is pricked and you're triggered, I mean, go through your list of triggers and your trigger tools, but you have to keep working on that until it doesn't bother you anymore. Or if it does bother you, you can just go through the trigger really super fast and go, okay, I know why this is triggering me. It's fine. You know, I'm not being abandoned. It's fine.
No, it's so important to have those friends in your life. Like I have one of my really close best friends. I've probably talked his ear off about the whole, I mean, he was there during the whole friendship breakup, knows the whole story. So, I mean, I've called him multiple occasions. I'm like,
thank God for those friends.
So, and never once, like, God bless him, never once has he like been like, oh, I'm tired of hearing it, because I probably said the same story like 3,000,000 times. But
you're trying to process it, right? You know, and I just remember that, like, I said that to all my friends, like, I'm so sorry, I keep talking about it. They're just like, you're okay, because I think your brain is trying to figure it out, right? You want to put an ending. Your brain is trying to, like, why you get earworms or why you're thinking about something in a movie or whatever. Like, you just, your brain wants to, like, finish the thought. And so, I get it. I remember over and over and over going, did he do that? What about that? Oh, my God. You know, and trying to, like, what's the ending? Can someone tell me the ending? I want to know.
No, it's true. But I also think that your brain kind of goes through that story over and over and over and over and over again, because it's like, I also think it's in denial and disbelief.
Yes.
And because every time, at least for me, every time I have held this person accountable for their behavior or said something that they did, they have somewhat taken that story, my reality, and kind of twisted it in some, I don't even know how they do that, to the point where they're saying things back to me that hasn't happened. I'm confused about my own reality. And I feel like, am I on Shutter Island? Am I crazy? Did I not just see this happen with my own two eyes? am I the crazy one?
I'm telling you.
And I sit there and I'm like being gaslit, my eyes twitching. I didn't know that was gaslighting at the time. I'm just is what? No, that's not. What? That's not how it happened. Am I crazy? No. Is it me? Is it me? Am I the problem? And I feel like I had to do that in my healing to remind myself of what happened.
Yeah.
And not to gaslight myself and not to doubt myself and not to confuse myself. So I feel like I just had to say it over and over and over and over and over and over again. That makes like, this happened.
You know what? That makes so much sense because, you know, I didn't realize he was a narcissist, you know, my ex for a while, for like 3 months. And then when I found out, I actually wanted to talk to him. And then, and so he goes, I heard you calling me a narcissist. And I was like, yep. And then he said, you're really the narcissist. And he like word salad, which is very much a narcissist thing to do, is to call the other people a narcissist because they're just deflecting and everything. And just then gave me that word salad where you're just like, I'm so confused right now. And so when I even if you Google, like, am I the narcissist? It's great because like that, this terminology is out there now. And so it'll say narcissist will often call you a narcissist, you know, it's so confusing, but I love that idea that your brain is trying to say like, no, this really happened. It really did. Because I really was in denial on some things. And then my brain would be like, no, this, you know, and we'd keep replaying it. I'm like, I'm so tired of watching this movie. Like, this is the worst movie I've ever been in. It's hard.
It is hard. But it's also like, if anyone asks me if I had to redo this all over again.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, I don't want to go through that again, but yes. Where I'm at now, I would say yes, I would go through it again. And I, this time around, I wouldn't like shame myself for feeling the feelings that or talking about it, because I feel like I was always told, shut up, it happened in the past, get over it, especially with friends. Like,
why are people okay? So, I mean, don't you feel like maybe those are unhealthy people, because I had the same thing. As soon as I was like, oh my gosh, like the blindfold got ripped off. I'm like, oh my God, he's a narcissist. I was like, literally like, you guys, I figured it out. Don't worry. I picked up a microphone. So everyone knows. but this is the thing, is that, you know, as human beings, we want to be seen and heard. Right. And so when I figured out what had happened to me, this is the other thing. I had a name for my pain. So I didn't know what gaslighting was either. And I even was like, I think you're gaslighting me. And he's like, what are you even talking about? I've never, what is even gaslighting? What are you even talking? I'm like, did he, that motherfucker just gaslight me? So he did. You know what I mean? And so, but I wanted a name for my pain. It's like, I love it. That's why I put a stupid glossary in the back of my book, because I'm like, here's what was happening. But I didn't want it in like in the middle of my book, because I'm like, I just want to tell my story. And then if you need to know what was happening, go in the back. You know, it's like a little glossary, just like giving you all the terminology to understand, because this, you know, he replaced me immediately. And so that, what could I have done? What did I do? I sat and was like, I'm garbage. Oh my God, 33 years and nothing. Like, I'm now garbage. And I had to have friends rescue me off of that ledge and be like, nope, this is what narcissists do. So now you have a name for your pain. This is what they do. They don't have any depth. They'll replace you in a second. So this can be for anybody, coworkers, friendships. You know what I mean? Like, doesn't matter. You're expendable, like move, you know, next, you know, like that. And so once I understood that, I had a name for my pain and I could then start coming out of that shame, because our brain wants to go right to shame. It's like a normal human response. I felt so ashamed. I'm like, and now I think back, I'm like, what was I ashamed about? That I got a divorce? A million people get a divorce all the time. Like, and I am, by no means did I not try. Like, trolls come on my page to talk about, you know, you probably gave up. After 33 years, I gave up. Okay. That's quite a story, you know?
No. But I resonated with the, unfortunately, with the garbage term.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly how I felt. Yeah. I felt like I was disposed like trash. Mm-hmm. Like I was just recycling. Here you go. Yeah. Put it in the bin. Throw it away. Doesn't really matter. And having to go through that healing process where you're just like, okay, I'm not trash.
Right.
And they did, and it's like, it's not just they threw me away like trash. They've been treating me like trash.
Yeah. Oh, that's
for
good.
The entire time.
That's so good.
We were in this friendship. Like,
yeah, seriously. And you're this is the part is so funny to me is that the way they serve you red flags on a silver platter, but you can't see it. That's, excuse me, that's so hard because things like that where you're like, they've been treating me like garbage this whole time. It's not a surprise that I have been thrown away like garbage. And there's just so many times where when, you know, like talking about that the person across from you is not you, right? And so they're probably like, they're just out to take whatever they can take if you're dealing with a toxic person in a toxic relationship. And so when they say things like, you know, you have the problem, there's something, you know, my ex would tell me all the time, well, if I'm not changing, if you have a problem with the way I am, you need to go get help. It's like he served me the red flag on a silver platter. And I was just like, okay. And so it's like, I am nowhere near the person I was. Like, if you can believe it, I was very quiet and meek. And now I have a microphone. Yes. Right. Yes. It's better to be quiet and small. And it's like, I don't know how much smaller I can be. Yes. I knew how much smaller I could be because my next thought was, I'm not going to be on this earth anymore. And it won't be by his hands because he never hit me. But I would have done it. I would have, mm-hmm. because I was so sad about life going, this is it. This is life. And even with friendships, right? Going, do I really like value this friendship? Like when you just like, it's, I don't know. I love having the conversations. Like I have a really good friend. We've been friends since we were 11 and we were talking and she's like, I hope that we can say what we want to each other and kind of talk about things. And I was like, this is the best thing that's ever happened. Like, I love when my friends can call each other out and go like, are you okay? Do you need to go get a tune-up in therapy or something? You know what I mean? Like that. Well, but just out of love, not to be a jerk and be like, we're trying to manipulate anybody, but to have those real conversations and go, are you okay? Is something going on? And not be offended. You know, yes. Nobody has to hide anything.
No, those friendships are always something to be cherished. So if you know you have them, like hold them dear, hold them close.
Yeah.
Because I know what terrible friendships are.
Right. I know it's you know, I've learned that we're going through seasons of life and that I have a friend that I've had since I was 11. That's very rare. Okay. And we have been in and out of each other's lives and just because of circumstances. And so it's kind of a treasure to have that, a little blessing. But mm-hmm. then I have friends who I haven't known that long. And it's like, we have all these seasons in life. So we just got to learn how to take care of us so that the good friends keep coming in. And then when we see the bad friends, we can shove them away.
No, it's true. But I want to piggyback on what you said earlier, that you didn't see the red flags or the red flags were put on a silver platter and you just didn't want to recognize it. Yeah. But honestly, in my opinion, I think, especially when you're dealing with a covert narcissist.
Yeah.
The red flags come with plausible deniability that they're not really red flags. Like they're red flags when you see it from an outside perspective.
Yes.
But when you're in it, they always put themselves in this place where there's so many outside factors that can relate to their behavior.
Yeah.
And it's always like this red flag of them yelling and screaming and changing up their entire demeanor mm-hmm. towards you is, oh, I had a bad day at work. And then plausible deniability. Oh, I had a bad day at work. That's why they're reacting this way.
Right. You put that in there and go, okay, it's fine. Everything. Then, I'm overreacting or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And then you start to notice any day they come back and you can tell that they're angry or their face is different or they had a bad day at work or
okay.
a bad day wherever it is, yeah. you are awaiting that experience.
Yeah.
And then you get that experience. And then it's right. kind of like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's kind of like, oh, I knew this was coming, so it's okay.
It almost it does become kind of normalized, doesn't it? It's sort of, and you know, this that's why for me it's like it's so many years that I was there, and that was hard for me. That was part of my shame, was like, how did I not see it? How did I whatever? And I have friends who have said, "Oh my God, he was so good at what he was doing," especially because people think like, "Well, did he do it to my kids?" It's like, no, I was the target. Don't you understand? They only have usually that one target.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're not covert. And so to me, it was interesting to see that also in friendships and listen to people talking about certain friends. And I'd be like, okay, that's not exactly right. But then you have that, oh, but we're best friends. And same thing with my husband. It's like, oh, but I know him behind closed doors. And I'd be like, but everybody else in the entire world. So you're going, okay, 8 billion people think he's great. And I am the one who thinks he's a problem. And so that's hard, right?
It's Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde situation.
Yeah, and like, you feel like crazy.
For me, I knew when I started talking about this and my sharing my story, I yeah. knew that if I'm going to go into this, I knew I'm going to have a lot of people that are not going to believe me, that yes. know me and know who this person is.
Okay.
Because of this person's creation of their the facade that they've created okay. in front yeah. of everybody. It's right. like people would come up to me and be like, there's no way this person did these horrible, yes. despicable things to you. They're not smart enough to do that. They're too nice. Oh, they're geez. Too innocent. They always play this, at least my experience was like really dumb and like oh. never knew what was going on. Oh my God, I didn't know. Oh, oh. And yeah. it's like, oh, I'm so ditzy. Whoops, totally forgot. And yeah. and everyone's like, oh, that's so funny. It's so cute. Just like a little bunny rabbit. Just right. hopping along, doesn't know what's going on, just like not smart enough. And behind closed doors,
yeah.
she would tell me things like, you know, you need to start talking to that person so you can get, you know, they live in this area. Wow. So if you stay at their house, you can get this and this stuff for free and you can oh have like gosh. That and then they'll take you here. And I'm like,
teaching you how to manipulate.
And I'm like, I was like, ew, first of all, that's weird. Why am I going to invite myself to go stay at somebody's house just because they have a house in the Hamptons? Like, right. I was like, if they invite me, great. If they want me there, but right. I'm not going to invite myself there and then stay there for months at a time.
And it tells you a lot about how she thinks.
And I'm like, what?
So crazy.
And it's but just like little things.
But see, that's a red flag and it doesn't always look like a red flag, right? Because around it, a lot of times they're waving lots of green ones and you're like, they're so generous. They're so nice. They're so this, they're so that. Everything that's so green, 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 green. And it almost like cancels out the red, but you don't. But I saw this, I don't know, on Instagram or something. And it said like being abused 10% of the time is abuse. Like you're in a relationship where you're only abused 10% of the time. Okay. You're still in abuse. And so for me, especially like societally, we've been taught this way and different things that being in my marriage going, I can do it. I just have to figure it out. And then, but not having value in myself as well. That was hard. Not having value. So when I went to therapy for a few things, that's where I really learned my value and my worth, my value right now as I am, who I am. And I'm the one who's in therapy trying to figure this out. And she was the one who was like, he's either unwilling or unable. And that's a really good question to ask yourself, even in friendships, like, are they unwilling to change or do things or whatever, or are they unable? And a lot of times, many times, it's they're unwilling.
Unwilling. Yeah, that's what yeah. I would say.
Yeah, they're unwilling to do it. And so this is what I've learned is if you are in a healthy relationship, if you bring something up that's a problem, the other healthy person is going to try and work it out with you. You can come to a compromise. You're going to talk about it, whatever. If you're in an unhealthy relationship because the other person is unhealthy, so congratulations, now it's an unhealthy relationship. I mean, there's no way about that. Like, one bad apple does spoil the whole barrel or whatever it is. You know, they're not going to try and solve it. They're just going to put it back onto you. You're the problem. And he would tell me that all the live long day. If you have a problem with this, you have to go deal with it. And I did that for a long time. And so that's why even now with friendships, like, if there's a problem and I can't talk to my friend about it, it's going to send up some red flags to me and go like, why can't I? And so I love it that my friends will bring it up too, mm-hmm. You know, and just, you know, there's a language of people who are healthy, right? And who are doing the work. They say certain things and they act a certain way and it's great.
Well, you know? I would say healthy people are, their actions match their words, or their words match their actions.
That's
either
it.
Way.
Either way. One.
it's like if they say something,
yeah,
they're the ones that are doing it. Like, for example, yeah, if they're, or even if they're, no, honestly, I take that back. Healthy people don't complain about other people because they know how much work it takes to, like, do certain things. So they never complain about people that aren't really doing the work, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either. And I think the conversation, I'm trying to think of like the conversations I've had around that. They're usually like, it might be a family member or something that they're trying to reconcile. Like, how do I keep my distance, or do I go no contact, or am I going to like back off a little bit on family functions or whatever? I think that's a lot of the conversations I was having because of the holidays, because I have a very limited relationship with my family Laura's always been like the scapegoat. Like, look, I have a pattern, but now I'm breaking the pattern. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so it's really hard. And sometimes I'm like, am I overcorrecting? Because, like, I don't want to see anybody ever. It's like, nobody talk to me. But I'm trying not to overcorrect and mm-hmm. realize that I'm kind of introverted anyway. So, like, this podcast life is great for me. Like, I'm at home. You know what I mean? It's like, this is great. I love it. But I get to have relationships with people like you online, but I don't have to leave my house to see you. It's great.
It's wonderful. I love it.
It's wonderful. It's so crazy. But I'm trying not to overcorrect and be like, well, because, you know, at first, didn't you feel like everyone's a narcissist?
No, honestly, when I first started learning about narcissism after that friendship breakup, I realized that she was covert narcissist. I realized, oh, my ex-fiance was a covert was a narcissist. And, oh, this person I'm surrounded with is a narcissist. And then I was like looking at my friends, and then I realized that there was another person in my life that was more of an overt narcissist. And I was
okay.
Oh, they're everywhere. What is going on?
That's the scary part of getting healthy. I know, because I said that to my therapist. I'm like, is everyone a narcissist? My gosh. And she said, well, no, but you're just more aware now. And mm-hmm. and so that's the hard part. We were talking about, like, you know, reality TV and stuff, like just watching certain things. Okay, I went back and watched Sex and the City, you know, having not watched it for years. And I was like, oh, my God, I can't even get through one episode. Like, there's so much toxic crap, because people are like, Carrie's the narcissist. No, Big is the narcissist. And I'm like, oh, my God, they both kind of are. But he definitely was. I'm like, yeah. You know, I mean, it's just hard because, like, it's just hard to see. It's good to see it, but it's hard because, like, I just want to enjoy watching Sex and the City. I don't want to analyze it.
Honestly, that's how I feel about Gossip Girl. Like,
Now I got to go back and watch
it. I relate because I'm a Blair Waldorf. And
okay.
She, in on the show, she's a mean girl. She's a mean girl.
Okay.
But she never pretends not to be. And through the series, she learns to grow, heal, and become like a better person. Mm-hmm. And I relate to her a lot. And then there's this Serena Vanderwoodson, who's the ditzy blonde, has no idea what's going on. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And it's like, I'm like looking at the show and I'm like, oh, I'm getting triggered. This reminds me of somebody. I can't do this.
It's wild, but it's good. I mean, it's good because that's why I just keep informing people, like bringing awareness, you know, because people do want that question answered. Like, how do you know they're a narcissist or whatever? I'm like, I don't know. Don't ask me because I didn't know for 33 years, but it's like, I can see it now. And it's mostly like, I always focus on the end, like love mm-hmm. yourself. Like if you can work, if you can start working on yourself, you're going to start seeing whatever's in your life that shouldn't be there. And it'll kind of start like it course corrects, right? Like it just all of a sudden you're going in the way you're supposed to go. But we haven't really been taught that self-love, that it's okay. Like there are circles, probably the circles we're in there. Yes. And people talk about self-love and all those and working on yourself and all those kinds of things, self-care. But there are circles where self-love, oh my gosh, like you would love yourself. What does that even mean? Like, how can you love yourself? You have to. And people don't get that. It's very, it just seems foreign.
Yeah, it's a hard concept because everything we've been taught from shows, TV shows, like yeah. how society handles things, it's put other people first. And even if you have to minimize yourself and make yeah. yourself small, yeah. as long as everybody else in your life is comfortable and happy, right. despite your comfortability, like you can be miserable, yeah. that's okay, as long right. as everybody else is happy. And it's learning to finally put yourself first, your needs first,
right?
And asking yourself the question, okay, this friend inviting me out, do I feel like I'm 100% to hang out with this person? Do I want to stay in? Like, right. what are my needs today? And then it's like doing the hard thing and
yeah.
having to say no to somebody and be like, hey, right. I'm not going to be out for those plans. Mm-hmm. And not having to explain why. You don't have to lie.
Right, because like, I think in the past, we're like, well, I don't want them to get mad at me. I don't want that, you know, I don't want them to get mad at me, so I have to say yes. But then all you're doing, I love the way that my therapist talked about this, that I was out of integrity with myself. I was like, oh, I really like that. Because I can sit there and go, it's their fault and they did this or whatever. But we have to remember, if we're out of integrity with ourselves, that's when we start to feel bad. We start to be angry. Mm-hmm. And you might have told that friend, yes, I'll go to whatever. And then you're getting ready and you're annoyed and you're irritated and you don't even want to be there. It's like, that's your signal that you need to learn how to say no and be okay if they get mad at you. Look, I know people can be disappointed and all that, but we got to be okay with people being a little upset. I don't know. My really good friends are not going to get super upset. They're going to be disappointed that I can't go, but they're not going to be upset with me because that feels like manipulation to me, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. I think good friends would be disappointed because they want to spend time with you, not
right.
upset right. with you because they didn't get their way.
Yeah. That's exactly it. That's it. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, there's too much wisdom. I've dealt with too much.
No, but it's so good that you talk about it because I didn't really understand that that was a thing even in friendships. But like you were saying, you know, when we were like, is everyone a narcissist? It's true. When I got out of my marriage, I was like, oh, there's a reason I'm friends with this person. There's a reason why my last boyfriends were this way. There's a reason. And you have to like, you have to fix that. You have to figure yeah. that out so that you can understand how you want to be in this world. And not everybody's going to like that. And that's okay. Like, I don't yeah. have it. That's not your job. Your job is not to have everybody like you. That's not the job.
No.
You got to like you.
You got to like you. And you also have to like who you're hanging out with too.
Yeah.
But really. I think my therapist was telling me if you realize that there's somebody that's a narcissist that's in a romantic relationship, you uh-huh. think, you don't think that they can be a friend to somebody too. You don't think that they can be, you know, a brother or a sister to somebody. You don't think that they can be a mother okay. or a father to somebody. Like,
right.
they take that behavior into all of their relationships.
Yeah.
So it's not just in the romantic sphere. They can, if yeah. they see someone as a target for them, they'll mm-hmm. switch it up.
Yeah, because they do take advantage. because they want what they want. And somebody was saying, like they commented on a video or something, and they were saying like, well, why, if narcissists, like when narcissists cheat or whatever, it's like, why wouldn't you just, you know, leave the relationship and go with the new girlfriend or whatever? Because it's better to have two girlfriends. It's better to have two relationships. You know what I mean? It's like they want what they want and they want to see what they can get away with. And I feel like it's sort of that same way in friendships. It's like the takers are going to take. And if you allow them to do whatever, to take or whatever, in however capacity, they're just going to keep doing it.
Oh yeah.
If you don't say something, like we talked about before, if you don't say something, if you don't make your point known, that's like, I'm not okay with that or whatever you just did, they're going to see it as a sign of, I can just keep doing this because they didn't complain.
Yeah. And they want to have their cake and eat it too. Like they're not just going to have one slice and be like, no. I just want this slice. I want the cheesecake, the vanilla, the chocolate, if they can have it, they'll have the whole cake. And if they don't care how they get it, they don't care if they're like smushing the cake, they don't care.
And this is the thing. It's like, we're trying to think logically and they are illogical. You can't think logically. You can't go, well, if I wanted to be with somebody else, I would leave my relationship and then I'd go with somebody else. No, they just go, she looks good. Let's go get her too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, because it their whole shame-based, I don't want to call it a disorder because not everybody's diagnosed, but that whole shame-based disorder, you know, it's like, I know I look back and I like my ex very much working off of shame all the time, trying to feel good all the time, finding ways to feel good. And so he always had women fawning over him. It was a big deal. And I know now I know why he did it. And so it's like, do I like it? No. But do I understand it? Yes. Now I know why he was doing it. And that helps me in my healing.
Yeah. And we were talking about this before we started recording, but it was we can't really assume how a narcissist is going to behave based on the way we are going to logically behave, because we think of our actions and the consequences of our actions before we do something. For a narcissist, they don't think consequences apply to them.
Right.
They just, you know, bulldoze through life and they don't care who they're taking down with them. They're just going to do whatever they want to do, even if it hurts every single person.
Yeah.
Like I see it more as like the moral dilemma train.
Okay.
We would sit there and be like, oh my God, which way do we go? Do I go this way? Because five people or one person, like, and you're a normal person would sit there and be like, this is an impossible task.
Right.
A narcissist would be like,
whatever.
Yeah. Oh, let's flip a coin.
Yeah. It doesn't matter to me. Like, what does it matter? That to me is so crazy. But see, when you can start thinking like that, and I did a podcast with a friend who she talks a lot about single mom life. She still has to co-parent, things like that. And I don't have to do that, thank God. And so, but on her show, I was like, everyone is thinking that your co-parent gives two shits and they don't give any shits because they are just out for themselves. So they're not going to go like we would go, oh, well, I got to worry about the child and what they might think or whatever. No, they're all out for themselves. So just think about that in any relationship you're having, especially when you think they're toxic or you realize they're toxic. You can't, you know, I want to pull out my PowerPoint and go, look, this is how people should treat you, you know, and you can't. They don't get it. They don't care. They're like, that doesn't pertain to me. I just want what I want.
Yeah, they don't care.
Put your PowerPoint away.
No, it's honestly like that. And they run without empathy. There's no emotions there. Besides, I would say, hiding from certain emotions that they don't want to feel.
Yeah.
So it's always the shame. They're always running away from shame, guilt, accountability. So they'll do anything necessary, even rope other people in, get them to believe their lie.
Right.
Just so they don't have to deal with the consequences of whatever they're doing.
And that's hard when you are in any kind of relationship and trying to have a conversation about something, because no, I didn't do that. And even if it's like, well, they're just liars. Okay, yeah. But no, I didn't do that, because they don't want to admit that they did something that failed, or they did something that whatever, you know, that makes them look bad. And so it's so much of not taking accountability. I live my entire life. I think I could tell you, we were together 33 years. And I could probably count on one hand how many times he said he was sorry and he truly meant it. And I believed him because no, it was always my fault. I'm like, dang it. How did I stay so long? Anyway, that's for 2022, Laura. She was very sad, but it's okay now. We're better.
It's okay. We'll get there. We're going to have to talk to our adult self and like soothe them too.
Exactly. Yes. I know. I did a video on that, like talking to 2022 Laura, freshly coming out of her divorce, you know, and then I had 2024 Laura telling her all the things he did, and she's going, oh my God. Because it's so true. Once the blindfold comes off, and you'll see it in any kind of relationship, you'll see it once you maybe step away, you go, man, they took advantage of me. Man, they did all those things. And it makes you feel bad, but just live and learn and mm-hmm. and change what you can, and know that, you know, you don't have to fully give everything to one person immediately. You know, you don't have to become best friends with somebody the second that that you meet them. That's just, slow your roll.
Yes. Yes. I've started to see that that's a big red flag when you're meeting someone that's a friend and they immediately throw the, we're soulmates. You're my twin flame. You're my best friend. It's like, I've known you in less than 12 hours.
Right.
Relax.
Exactly.
I don't even know your middle name. Relax. Well, even like,
we should go away together and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, how about, no, we just finish a lunch and then, like, you know, or even you just met them in a group or something. It's like, no, that's okay. Just, you got to learn the red flags, and you have to realize that people are handing them to you. We just don't always see it. Now I see it more often, but that's why building awareness, like you're doing, like I try to do, you know, just building that awareness so people understand what is a red flag, because it's not just they're doing this. And especially when you have that covert narcissist where they're not hitting you, right? Or they're not, mm-hmm. even that friend is not doing something like that. It's like, it's so hard to figure out. It's like, you don't understand. They're so great out over here. But then when we're together, they like dig at me and they say things about me. And, oh, are you wearing that? You didn't, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing. And no, it's great. I love it. God, it's so exhausting. Like, I don't have time for any of that. I don't have time for any of that.
It's kind of a double-edged sword, though, because I've worked so hard on seeing the red flags that and noticing the narcissists roaming around this earth that I can literally clock them immediately. Yeah. Immediately. It's bad sometimes because I'd be in a setting and I'd be like, I know what you are.
Yes.
I know what you are. And then, but for those that haven't gone through that entire experience, they just think I don't like people. So my friends would be like, oh, you'd get along with so-and-so. And I'm like, yeah, no, I would not get along with so-and-so.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, you're just being judgmental and you're being a bitchy. And I'm like, no, I'm saving my own butt right now because I can see what is happening. But, you know, if you haven't gone through it, I can't really convince my friend that this person's narcissistic. They're going to be like, you're crazy.
I want to ask you, when people reach out to you, are they asking you for that kind of thing? Are they wanting to tell you like a situation and say like, is this person toxic, or is this a red flag, or should I break up with them, or whatever they're saying? Is that what you guys talk about?
I think a lot of the people that have reached out to me or done one-on-one sessions with me are always trying to understand what in the world happened to them.
Okay.
And when they're in that place where they're really confused of what has happened and what's going on, I can kind of tell that they've been through that narcissistic abusive relationship. Like, I obviously can't diagnose anybody through one story, but I can kind of see little
the patterns and stuff.
The pattern, the behavioral pattern. And, you know, most of the time when I have these conversations with clients, it's more like giving them a space to share their story in a safe space where there's nobody there like judging you or being like, well, you should have done this and you could have done this and why didn't you do that? Like, no, that's not going to be helpful.
Right.
And it's also kind of giving them more of the, I guess, validation, but I'm not going to validate your story unless like I think there is a point to like validate. Yeah. I'm not going to like blow smoke up your butt. Right. And I think that I try to be as kind as possible because I am going to be very honest with what I think and how maybe you should have moved a little bit differently here and there. But, you know, we all make mistakes. We all learn from it. And just giving somebody the safe space to talk about things helps.
I like that you talk about that validation part because I'm starting to think about, you know, putting together like a course. And actually the first thing I thought of was, I think I need to validate their experience of, you know, they wanted to leave because of this, this, and this or whatever, you know, and because when you have that covert relationship, like we were saying, like you're not necessarily being hit. And so you don't, you know, so people do spend a lot of years, like I did, going, well, should I leave? And can I leave? What should I do? You know what I mean? And they just don't realize it. And so I think it's interesting, especially like in that, like you were saying, like in that covert friendship where you're like, am I crazy? You know, like, did I really just experience something toxic or no? Am I overreacting? So I love that idea that you validate their experience. We don't need to diagnose anybody. You know what I mean? You can just, you should be able to tell them this is how you should have moved differently because that would be the reason they're coming to you. I would hope is to learn. It's like we learn because we can't just go, okay, love yourself more. That's not enough. That's not enough. You know what I mean? It's like I wanted actionable steps. Like, tell me how to get over this, whatever I just went through, because it's the most painful thing I've ever been through in my life. You know, so.
And it's one of those things is not dismissing that pain. Like, that pain is there for a reason.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of people, especially with friendships, we get a lot of the same iteration where it's like, oh, it's just a friend. Get over it. Mm-hmm. Just because it's not on a romantic spectrum, like it's less than, it's not as big of a deal. When I'm like, no, you can still have emotions, feelings, and care about someone, even if it's a platonic way. I know, it's crazy.
True. And I'm glad you do talk about that because and validating them that way. Yeah, that's it.
And I think it's also like part of womanhood, in my opinion, or like girlhood. Yes. It's our friends shape us.
Yes.
So when you have a friend that is a bully, that is toxic, that is making you feel less than and treating you like crap, that's how it shapes you and kind of translates into your relationships later down the line.
Yeah.
So we don't get into romantic relationships first. We build friendships first. Yeah. And that's like the core thing that creates who you are. Like, I've always said, I've said more to my best friends about things in my life than I've told my mother. Like, I don't.
Yes.
There's a lot of things I have not told my mother.
For sure.
But yeah. I've told my best friends, and you can have like conversations that are disgusting.
And it's so true. And I think you're right. We have we're so blessed that we get to have that girlhood, you know, we get to call them our girlfriends, right? And not in a romantic way because we love them so much. And that's why it's so painful to have those breakups. Like, it's been hard. Like, the friends who have left my life, it's probably for the best, but man, I have spent a lot of time crying. It's like, I mean, I see it. I know. Look, on paper, yeah, I understand. But it's still hard. It's your heart, you know. And so I know it's going to work out and everything's going to be fine. But I spent a lot of time crying going, so I get no friends. Nobody likes me. That's it. I'm just done. This was it. No more friends for you.
But. Yeah. And I mean, I kind of get the narrative where it's like, I'd rather be alone than be surrounded by terrible people. Yeah. But I also think that that thought process can be kind of like a little bit victim-y, like, or push you down a little bit. Cause then you think to yourself, oh, I'm going to be alone than be surrounded by anybody. And it's, yeah. And it, I rather say it where it's like, you're removing people from your life so you can make space for the right ones to come in that will reciprocate the love that you have to give.
Yeah.
So it's not about being alone. It's about having the enough space so that the people can come in.
Yes. And that's what I definitely had to hear from my holistic therapist, because I was trying to overcorrect and go, fine, no one will ever see me again, you know, but you do have to. Yeah. I had plenty of good friends talking me down from that ledge going, nope, that just wasn't the right friend. Now you have room for the new ones to come in. And it's amazing that they do. They show up, and especially the way you are in the world, right? When you start changing and being more positive, it really sends a message out there and attracts the right people.
Yeah. I mean, I try. I am as positive as I can possibly be, but sure. I'm also as, I would say, as honest as I can possibly be. Like, and sometimes that's going to rub people the wrong way. Cause
well, but this is what I meant. This is what I meant by that, that you truly know who you are.
Yes.
And that's what's important. And so I'm not talking about sunshine and roses all the time, because we're not doing toxic positivity over here.
No,
no, it's knowing who you truly are. And that's what is going to attract the right people. You know, that's what I mean. So I'm glad you said that. Yeah.
No, it's important. It's having those standards and being in your true authentic self, that I feel like the toxic positivity is kind of, oh, I'm going to be sunshine and rainbows, but I am still going to treat people poorly. That's like, you didn't learn. You had one job and you didn't learn the lesson.
You had one job. That's funny.
So, yeah. Yeah. And sometimes being like your true authentic self is sometimes being the bad guy in a situation, unfortunately.
Yeah. And that's okay.
Yeah. And that's okay. Hey, I'm a villain in a lot of people's stories.
Yes.
And sometimes it's, I've made my mistakes, a lot of things I'm not proud of that I've not done on purpose, but I've hurt people. Yeah. Learn to grow from that. I've also been the villain where I've stood up for myself and people don't like that.
Yeah.
But I've also been like a really good person for a lot of other people. So it's like, you kind of have to be all of it.
Yeah. It's being your true self. And you can't, you don't know. I always say what other people think of me is none of my business. Because literally if somebody doesn't come to me to tell me they have a problem with me, that problem does not exist.
Can't fix something that I can't
doesn't
see
exist.
Or hear about. Yeah.
I'm not interested in hearing about it from so-and-so. You come to me. Otherwise, it's just gossip. And it's like, if they don't come, and I have stopped friends in the past saying, hey, so-and-so this. I go, oh, whoa. No, that's not my business. If they need me to do something different, they can come to me. But that takes a lot of years to really work on that, because that's that triangulation that people will do, you know, go talk to so-and-so. And we've been taught that even in our families, you know, if you have siblings or whatever, go talk to your sibling about this that they're doing. And it's like, that's toxic. Like, go talk to them yourself kind of thing. And so I had to learn that what other people think is none of my business. And if there's a problem, they will come to me. And if they don't, because they're not healthy, then that's not my problem.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist. So.
And unfortunately, that's a hard lesson to learn.
Yes.
But I also think it's very important to set your boundaries with people that, you know, that person has talked to about the problems, and then they come to you and tell you about the problems.
That's great. Yes.
I've always like set boundaries with people when they're like, oh, well, so-and-so told me that she doesn't like that you do. And I'm like, listen.
Yes.
Like, I appreciate you trying to warn me and everything, but this is not between me and you. This is between me and her. And if she has a problem, she can come talk to me about it.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, see that? See, there, we set a boundary.
And then no, that's it. It's good.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, because if not, you're just going to be playing telephone, and that's going to make things worse, where person's telling you what they're dealing with, then you're like, oh, well, okay, all this stuff, and you kind of defend yourself, and then they're going back to that person, and then you never really resolve the issue. It's just like, oh, she said that. Oh, she thinks she's entitled. Oh, well, my God.
The thing is that we know playing telephone doesn't get you like the same word at the beginning as it is at the end. And so you're going to have that issue. Well, tell them this or whatever. It's like, no, they have to come right to you. And you work it out like adults, like work it out like adults, or work it out like, you know, healing people or people who want to work on a relationship. So,
yeah. I mean, I've learned not to be friends with people that do that. So,
oh, yeah, for sure. I don't have time for that anymore.
It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. I'm very strict on communication and conflict resolution. And I think we're adults. So learn how to communicate effectively.
Yeah.
Communication and conflict resolution isn't a screaming, yelling match. You can literally come up to your friend and be like, hey, love you, but you've been acting this way. Yes. Hurts me.
Right.
What can we do about it? That's it.
Yes, you can actually do that. Yes.
And then if it's not done on purpose, the other person's like, oh my God, I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry. Let me fix it.
Yes, exactly. I love that.
Because
we all make mistakes, right? And so if somebody says, oh, hey, you did this and it was rude. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't even realize. That's how you know there's health there. That's how you know there's healing there, where you, oh, look at that. Somebody who actually try and work out the relationship.
Yeah. But I've had a lot of comments where they're like, well, I've talked to them, held them accountable, and they start screaming at me, or they start deflecting and, you know, being reactive, all that stuff. And to me, that just showcases they're not emotionally mature.
Exactly. Like
to me, that tells you they would rather put their ego above all else than fix the problem.
It's true. I know. And I know that's got to be hard, because I get a lot of messages too. And it's hard to, people want like a one sentence answer or something. It's like, there's no answer that I can give you right this second. You just have to learn these skills of loving yourself. This is what a healthy relationship looks like. And do you have that? If you don't, then try this and that kind of thing. There's only so much you can do. I always tell people, if nothing changed today, is this the life you want to continue living? And that's how I finally decided I couldn't continue in my marriage. It wasn't like something happened. A lot of somethings happened for a lot of years, you know, but it wasn't just one thing. Cause I get it. That's my most asked question. What's the one thing that happened? Oh, there wasn't one thing. I just finally had to wake up and say, he's never going to change. He literally told me that. Here's my silver platter saying I'm never changing. And so if you never change, if none, and use this in any relationship, if they don't change, can you live like this for the rest of your life? I couldn't. So I had to change it.
Yeah. No, I don't want to go back to, what was it, 2021 or 2020, Sabrina?
Yeah.
Poor girl. I want to give her a hug.
Right. I know.
Oh my God. If you ever saw like my very first videos on TikTok.
Yeah. Were you really quiet or whatever?
Yeah. Yeah. I was always like, you could tell.
Yes.
In the videos that I am very careful about how I'm saying certain words.
My podcast that came out today, I recorded that a year ago. Okay. Look, I have a lot of episodes on the hopper. I recorded a year ago and I was listening to it. I go, oh, I was still really careful about what I was saying. And now I think about it and I'm like, oh no, I would have like interviewed her completely different, but we don't worry about the past. Like I'm not going to worry about that. We're going to move forward, but I can hear that same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you just can't beat yourself up. That's why I call my podcast. That's where I'm at. It's like that's where we were at. And that's the way things are, you know, like wherever you're at in that time, that's just, we're going to work from there. That's just how it is.
No, it's one of those things that I look back and I'm like, oh, poor girl. Like,
I know.
And now I'm doing videos and I just say what I want.
You don't care about it. I'm just kidding.
I don't. I know what I'm saying, and I know what I'm saying is like my truth. But at the same time, I know that whoever is going to choose to misunderstand me and not see that where I'm coming from is from a good place.
Yeah,
that's not my problem anymore. Like, you're gonna, if you want to see it negatively, you can. By all means, you can take it negatively.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't do anything about that.
I have trolls that come on my videos that say like, well, what about his side of the story? I'm like, I don't know. I don't go to that circus anymore. What are you talking about? I don't have any communication with the circus or the clown. And it's like, what the, why would I sit here and have communication and have him tell his side of the story? Do you know narcissists are liars? He's going to lie. And he's very busy with his new wife. You know what I mean? Like, it's like that should be a big enough red flag for you there. But it doesn't matter. I just go, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Like, why are you bothering me?
But it's also not up for debate. And I feel like people don't get that. It's like, it is your story. It is my story. And you can have your story. You can have your truth, whatever it is. If it's going to be a lie, that's on you. That's not on me.
Yes, exactly. You can't control it.
My story is not up for debate. I'm not going to sit here and you're going to tell me that I didn't experience what I experienced. I know what I experienced, even if I'm the only person in the world that knows that. Right. I know what happened.
Yes.
And that's it. Like,
and that's why it's, I feel that that's why it's really, it's wrong to, when people come out of abuse and even in a friendship and you say, well, there's two sides to the story. It's like,
it's very invalidating.
It's very invalidating. I went through a lot of secondary gaslighting and I had to do an entire episode on that because it's very, that kind of talk is very invalidating. It's like, what about what, you know, what does he say about it? And did that really happen?
Who cares?
And is that abuse? Yeah. Yeah. Who cares? Yeah. And I was like, is that abuse? I don't know. It sure seemed like abuse to me. And to the medical community, it sure seems like abuse. And it's like, I do not have to justify what I went through. I don't. This is my story. You are more than welcome to believe it or not believe it. And
That's it.
You know, and I have friends who would be like, oh my gosh, I do believe you. Well, and you know what? That's nice to hear. But it's like, you know, they don't have to say that. But I've had plenty of friends who have said, that doesn't sound right. He wouldn't have done that. I know.
Okay.
That's a covert narcissist. They don't think it, they make you believe they would and never do that because he's out serving the homeless and blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay. And then he comes home and says really terrible things to me.
I'm sorry you went through this. Like, I can understand.
I am stronger for it. Sure. I'm strong now.
We have to spread the awareness. We have to tell people.
It really fuels my fire because I don't want anybody else to go through this. And I know you feel the same way, that you don't want people to feel like they're alone and that their experience was invalidating because it was a friendship. Those hurt. And so that you have to, I love that you talk about it. I'm like, man, I mean, having gone through it, which I never thought it was a thing. And then when I found you, I was like, oh my gosh, I feel so validated that these things actually happen.
No, same when I saw your videos. I was like, ah! Yes!
Exactly.
No, so but go ahead.
I just try to make videos like that where I'll be in a group and people will be talking about the same thing over and over. And I'll be like, be right back. I'm going to go make a video. And when I had my breakup with my friend, I'd be sitting on the couch and I'd be thinking of something and I'd be like, BRB, gotta go make a reel. And my friends were like texting me about something. I'm like, oh, well, okay. I got to make a reel about that. Be right back. So I did five days in a row. I couldn't help it because if I'm experiencing this, there's got to be other people experiencing it. And so I just wanted to talk about it.
It's so nice. Sometimes you put out that video and you get a bunch of people messaging and being like, I am going through this exact thing. I needed to hear it. And I was like, okay. It reached the right people. That's all I know.
I love that. Spotify did my, you know, when they did the Wrapped on Spotify and they sent me, so I was watching my Wrapped for my podcast and it was like the demographic that's listening to me. And I was like, my people found me. They found the right people. Because I talk to women in midlife, you know, having left a situation like me, and my entire demographic was 45 to 65. I was like, they found me. And so that's why when people say like, well, you should be talking to these people or these people, it's like, I will talk to people like me because we became who we needed to have in our life. Right.
Yeah.
And so we're talking to that person. I'm talking to me just a couple of years ago going, you're going to be okay. Everything's okay.
And yeah.
That's who I'm talking to. And they found me. So it's great. And I'm glad. Yeah.
No, I'm glad too. I feel like when I talk to a bunch of people that are either on TikTok or they come over Instagram or even get the one-on-ones, it's less about like, forget what happened to me and my experience. Like, forget that. I can handle myself. I'm strong enough now that I can pick up the pieces.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like my little babies. They're there and they're dealing with the same thing. And I'm just like, okay, I was there. This is what you need to do.
Yeah.
And I try to give them as much guidance as possible because I know what it's like to sit in that and have no one to listen to you. Yeah. Like before TikTok, there is nothing besides my therapist who.
Yeah, exactly.
Who was like, do you know you went through emotional abuse? And I was like,
yeah.
What?
I know.
This is a friend. What are you talking about? She's like, yeah. It sounds like you went through emotional abuse. Yeah.
That's why I started doing petty videos on the internet before I started my podcast, because you do feel alone. And I wanted, because I felt like I was just at my house, like screaming into the void going, I was in abuse, you guys. Hello.
Hello.
Other than my therapist and my cat, you know. And so talking about it on the internet, not even really getting into it, again, still a little reserved, you know, but not really getting into it. Now it's like I can shape what I want to say because I have the terminology and we can talk about like what we went through and whatever. But they were very just petty. This is what my ex did and he can suck my butt. You know, it's sort of like that. I mean, not quite that, but yeah. No, those videos are very crude and very petty and I don't even care.
No, I went through that phase too, but it was more like re-uploading like memes or like, you know, like those narcissistic abuse, like little like quotes and stuff like that. I was like, just share. It was all over my Instagram.
Yeah.
And it was kind of funny because that was like a year after, maybe like 6 months after everything, and I was going through it, and that's all I was sharing. It wasn't really directed to anyone. It's just like, I read this is how I feel. Here you go.
Resonates.
And then that narcissistic friend reaches out to one of my best friend. And it's just like, oh, all she does is talk about me. She's making me look bad in front of people. So funny.
And she's like,
people are reaching out to me and questioning me and all of this stuff. And then I thank God for him because he stood up for me.
Yeah.
He's like, first of all, she's not tagging you.
Right.
She's not saying your name. She's not making this whole like list of like, this is your name. You're a terrible person.
Yeah.
This is what you did. And then she's like, and how do you know that this is about you? Because that sounds like a guilty conscience to me.
Yeah.
When he called me and told me that, I was like, I love you.
Yes, exactly. Don't you love that? I did an episode on secondary gaslighting because I felt like my friend was doing that. And so I wanted to educate people. That's the only reason I did it. There was no other motive. And anyway, no. And she said to me, she goes, I heard you kind of talking about secondary gaslighting. It's like, do you think I'm doing that? And I was like, I mean, you need to really like figure that out for yourself. And I was sitting there going, yeah, I made that entire video for you.
I'm glad you're self-aware. That's good.
Really great that you caught that, you know, but the same thing. I never said anything. And it's like, if the shoe fits, feel free to wear it.
Oh yeah. If the shoe fits, wear it, Cinderella. Like, I love that. I love that. But it was also at the same time hearing that from my best like my ex-best friend calling my other best friend.
Yes, I love
was a
that.
Little, it was a little hurtful because I was like, wow.
Okay. Yeah.
The whole time you didn't try to contact me, didn't try to have a conversation with me, treated me horribly. And now you're concerned about your reputation. You're more concerned about your reputation than the fact that you hurt somebody and treated them poorly. Gotcha. And then they didn't
go to you. And that's the thing. That's another thing, right? They didn't come to you to say like, hey, are you talking about me? Is that about me? You know, like, I know maybe you blocked her or whatever, but that to me is like, there's so much toxic in there. And it's like, she was just worried about what people thought of her. Mm-hmm. And that's enough. Like, even to be like, I don't need that kind of friendship, you know?
Oh, thank God. No, thank you. I don't want it.
I know.
I don't want it.
Keep away.
It's good. It's good. It's just, you know, it's great for educational purposes talking about it, but I do not want to go back there ever again.
I know. Yeah.
So
I know. That's all we can do. We can just keep educating people and never have to learn the lesson again. Never, please. Though I did have a little slip up with somebody recently and I was like, mother. Okay, so now I know, you know, like something happened and they tried to hoover me and all this. And I was like, okay.
But how long did that take for you to recognize it?
Not very long. It was really quick. It was just right after it happened. Like they tried to, because it was the holidays. So I was trying to get hoovered. I was trying to get hoovered back into a something. And once I got off the phone, I was like, oh, crap. I should have seen that, but I can't beat myself up. So I just was like, okay, live and learn.
Yeah, no, I think it's like, also you have to kind of see the good in it. It was from 33 years of not seeing any of the signs to like after a few minutes seeing the sign.
I know.
So
yeah, that's what
there's a big improvement there. So,
yes. Yeah, so I can't beat myself up because there's been a couple of times where I'm like, oh, I slipped back into old Laura mode. And so I just catch myself and that's okay. And
yeah, that's fine. Okay.
Yeah, it's fine. I had a lot, 33 years of it one way and I'm just learning. And actually I was figured out after I left my marriage. I was like, oh, I don't know who I am after 55 years. Like I didn't know who I was at all. So now we're learning. Now we're learning and growing and we're figuring out who Laura is. I got a tattoo yesterday. I'm telling everybody.
I know. I saw the video.
I'm like, this is what I'm doing now.
And now my best friend's calling me right now. Doesn't know. Well, I'll call him later.
Okay.
No, I think the tattoo is awesome. I saw the reel that you made, Taylor Swift.
Yes.
Midnight?
Yeah, okay. Midnight Rain, yeah.
But what does it say?
It says all of me changed like midnight. Because I feel like when I found out that about narcissism, it's sort of like your therapist going, did you know you were in emotional abuse? When I figured that out, I was like, huh? What happened? What did I just experience? I didn't think. I was like, this is ridiculous that I didn't see it. I don't know how many people I've talked to on my podcast who didn't see it either. And they were in relationships forever. Because when you're not being hit, your brain is a mess.
No.
Your brain is a mess because they're giving you the good, the bad, the breadcrumbs. And then they're mean. And then it's like my brain didn't know what to do. And I was really shut down as a person. I was teeny tiny and, you know, just like, don't talk about things. And I just even remember sitting in the divorce office, you know, and they're like, is this good? You know, like sure. You know, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Now it's like, now I can actually voice what I want and what I need.
Mm-hmm. So, oh, it's a huge difference. It's like, no, that's not okay. Here are my my standards. So,
because I was worried if I made any demands, he would say something rude to me, and I have felt that way in a lot of parts of my life. Mm-hmm. So now it's like, no, you're allowed to say what you want. You're allowed to say, no, you know what? I don't want to go to that restaurant. Can we try this one instead? Or I ate there last night, or whatever. You know, like to even say that just in case someone doesn't like you. But it's like the good people are gonna be okay with that because you're not. Being a jerk, you're just saying what you need. And that's that's what I've really been learning is who am I? And then what do I need in this world? And how can I walk through this world, not just taking, but also giving, but not giving too much.
not giving it all away.
You know, there's a balance.
No, it's a big lesson to learn is to understand the balance of overgiving.
I know. Oh my goodness.
But I think this has been great. I don't want to keep you for too long. We've been doing this. This is good. I definitely want to do another episode with you one day if that's good with you.
Yeah. I don't care if we do a TikTok live, whatever. Like whatever you want to do, I'm open to it. I've done so many different things and talking about so many different things. Amazing the crossover of so many things. And I have to find a way to add you as a resource for people who are dealing with this. I don't get those messages because that's not my audience. But if I do, I'll send them your way, you know, for friendship stuff. Because it's just helpful because we have to validate those experiences that people are having when people are like, well, I wasn't hit, but I was in abuse. And it's like,
you don't have to compare,
but we've been taught that this is worse than this. And so that's why if we continue to go around building awareness and validating people for their experience, yes, it may not be as bad as somebody else's, but that's okay. Your experience is still valid.
Yeah. You know? Does it hurt? Yes. Then it matters.
It matters. Yes, exactly. There's too many people walking around in pain in this world. And that effect. So the ripple effect that we can have is really loving on people in this way and letting it ripple out so that they can be happy and make an effect in their world.
Mm-hmm. You're doing good, Laura.
You are too. Good job.
Good job. All right. I appreciate you so much. Thank you, everybody, for tuning into our conversation. And please go follow Laura on Instagram and TikTok until TikTok is banned again.
I'm on all the socials, so go find
Okay.
me.
I will definitely put your socials in our little bio box so people will follow you. Make sure to buy her book. Please do. It's going to be very, very good. It's called Married to a Nice Guy. And where can you find it?
On Amazon.
Amazon.
And I have links all over my website. So they can.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. I make it very easy for people to find me.
That's good. Even news reporters.
That's right. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And we'll talk soon. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Bye.
Bye.